to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
I mean, you know what's funny about that is I actually, like, I just learned the term growler as it applies to beer, like, since I moved to Colorado, maybe, like, 3 months ago.
It's very much like a Colorado, like, okay, brewery thing, it seems like. I mean, and all breweries.
Yeah, it's brewery. And I guess since I was sober so long, I wasn't in a lot of breweries, so I missed all the new lingo.
That word is turning out weird. Brewery.
Brewery.
Brewer. It's three syllables, right? Brewery. Brewery.
But colloquially, it's brewery. Who says brewery?
Well, no one says that. But let me, all right, hold on a sec. Brewery. 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 Brewery.
Wait, maybe if you're a witch, you say brewery because you.
But brewery sounds wrong to me. It's brewery.
Brewery sounds wrong to me.
This might be the end of our podcast, Katie. This might be the end of our partnership, right?
What if I spill coffee all over the keyboard and the whole thing just blows up right now? And that's how I end. Brewery sounds like if you're deep into the art and science of brewing beers and you're like inside baseball about beers, you might say brewery.
Like that, in that sense, it's not the location. It's the science of. The science of brewing is brewery.
But that was my point about
that's
witches.
That's what I'm agreeing with you on that.
Okay.
But
think of it like this. If you're a witch, you're into the science of brewery because you're
Katie,
brewing.
You are a witch. So why don't you say brewery?
Because I'm a modern mystic witch. It's different.
You're not a beer witch?
The black pointy hat. I don't have it. Do I have to get one?
Okay, I still propose that there is a middle ground between brewery and brewery. Brewery. Brewery.
What's wrong with brewery?
It sounds like wrong. It just sounds like really, it's too harsh.
Oh,
brewery.
You mean, I see. It sounds like your face is what you're saying.
Wow. Okay. It's good to see you, Katie. I love you. I'm happy to be here.
I love when all of a sudden my caustic humor offends you out of nowhere. Whereas
I love how you believe that you offended me. Yeah.
You're such a good actor, Cassidy.
I know. I'm really good.
So talented.
No one will ever know that again, ever. But.
Oh. Because you're not acting?
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever act again. I should lie. I totally will act again.
I think that might. I think you're the first actor to think that way.
That is true.
First one.
See, I'm starting to get in, we said this on another episode. I'm starting to get in touch with my four wing. You know, I used to be three with the two wing and now it's the four wing.
Tell me more about that.
That my feelings are special and unique. Like that's such a four
thing. Hold on. I have a question. I guess I'm wondering, you said this the other day and I thought, that doesn't sound very 4E to me. If what you're saying is you're finally owning your feelings and having them at all, that sounds like growing up.
No, that's different. But the sort of jokey aspect of the four is that my feelings are special and unique and no one can possibly understand them because they're exactly only me that feels it.
I know, but don't you think that because, let's say theoretically in a theoretical universe, you're a little bit new to letting yourself have all your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be natural in that case that for a while you'd be like, all my goddamn feelings are special and I'm the only one who has them because you haven't been owning them.
Yeah, but
that's furry.
I'm joking about it, but it's also, I don't have a lot of judgment over, but I do think it is
kind of furry.
It leans more into the four world.
Okay. All right. I hear you.
Whereas the two, because they're all about, you know, service, they're not necessarily going to be acknowledging their feelings. They're going to be unloading their feelings on everybody because that's what unhealthy twos do.
Right.
But they're not going to know it.
Right. I think what I was getting at is that, like, in my mind, when we say I'm leaning into the 4E-ness or I'm becoming a 4 or anything about that, I guess in my head, it implies that it's more of a permanent state. Whereas what I would project onto you is that what you're going through now is a temporary state.
Oh, I would just say I'm getting more activated in the 4 side of my personality.
Right.
I think everybody knows we're talking about the Enneagram, but I'll just say the word Enneagram. Yeah. There, I just said it.
I'm just saying maybe it isn't a that. Maybe it's a whole other reframe of that. But you like your frame. Why am I trying to reframe you?
Yeah. Back off my frame.
Get off my frame, bitch.
Why are you all riding my frame?
Why are you up in my frame and shit? Okay, speaking of frames, no transition. You had some thoughts of things we were chit-chatting earlier on the telephone machine, as we do. And you were saying you had some ideas and thoughts and things. We're looking at today probably into your records about a thing you shared about last week on the podcast, which I'm actually quite excited to look at because I love the sort of sleuthy aspect of the Akashic Records where we get to kind of, right? Where we're like, what was it?
There's a mystery. Yeah. Like with my dad.
Yes, like you with your dad. But weren't we talking about the movie Son of a Bitch? It's not called Son of a Bitch. It's called
I Heart Huckabees.
We were talking about I Heart Huckabees and the existential sleuthiness and how I dated the goddamn writer of that movie. Hey, buddy.
I got a podcast. You want to be on my... I mean, the fact is, what an awesome guest that would be.
Oh, he'd be so good
to have the writer of I Heart Huckabees. Like, it's like someone who explores. We'll share on a later podcast when we actually say the person's name because we're going to get him on. But I shared with you a good friend of ours who is a playwright that we are excited to get on because of the way his brain works around shit like this.
Oh, I can't fucking wait for him to come on.
Yeah. What I wanted to talk about, well, the sort of general topic I wanted to talk about, and then we can get into my topic specific to me. It's why am I so many pre-statements of the thing before I say the thing?
I'm exhausted for you, and I'm not even you. I'm like, if I were Cassidy, I'd be so tired all the time.
I am.
Oh, no.
That's just because I haven't been sleeping lately, partially because of this thing that I want to talk about. So it's perfect. So I have a history of, wow.
What?
A history.
You have a past?
Yeah, I don't just exist in the moment right now. There's a before and an after. Times all exist at once, like a series of mirrors on a Star Wars movie. But
which we've discussed in the past.
Okay. The snap. Okay, so I have this thing that happens to me sometimes, almost always at night, sometimes elsewhere, where my body shifts into this... It feels like a panic attack.
You become a snake.
I become a snake. I turn into a dragon. Where it feels like I'm having what I imagine, because I don't know what a panic attack feels like.
You don't?
I don't know. Maybe this is what a panic... Maybe all I'm describing are panic attacks.
Okay.
But my body shifts into this place of like, feels like I can't catch my breath, even though I totally can. It's not like I'm oxygen deprived, but like the chest feels like it needs to breathe, like when you are out of breath, like you're trying to grab the breath. And my heart feels like it's racing, though when I check it, it usually isn't necessarily going fast, but it like, and my body, and I get really twitchy, like I can't be comfortable inside my own body. And I just need to like, move. I wish people could see me right now.
They can.
They can eventually, because you're going to publish this.
We're going to post the shit out of this.
Yeah. So this is the look. This is the me. This is what I look like.
I want to do it with you.
For listeners, what Cassidy is doing right now is moving his shoulders back and forth rapidly while gyrating his body. Sorry. What was I saying? So I have this thing, but what I'm always aware of most of the time when this is happening is that I don't feel a fear or a stress in my head brain. Like it doesn't feel like it's accompanied by, oh God, oh God, oh God. Okay. Or anything in my head.
Yeah.
So it's weirdly, it feels physical, which almost affects the psychological, but it's more just frustration that my psychology, my brain is feeling. Like, ah, damn it, this feeling, I hate this feeling. That's why I'm like, it's like a panic attack, only it's just in my body is how I often describe it.
Well, panic attacks are often just in the body.
Yeah. And there's no rational, not even rational or irrational. There's no thought accompanying.
Yeah, there's no mental content that goes along with it.
So last night was interesting because we talked about this last episode, and because it had happened in a big way to me recently when I was staying with my parents.
Right.
It was one of the worser versions of it where I had to get up and walk around the house and like lie on the couch, be in a different room. And I just couldn't be comfortable. So then when we talked yesterday, we're like, let's talk about that on the podcast tomorrow. So I had that in my head. But meanwhile, the memory of it had faded somewhat. So it was almost a relief. It was all like I woke up in the middle of the night this time and I was having sort of a smaller version of it, but it was happening. And I was like, oh, right on. There's that feeling. Now okay. I can remember what it feels like to talk about. So that was a weird framing of it because I was experiencing it, but I was almost welcoming it because I needed a point of reference for this discussion.
Yeah. Okay. So we have that to attend to in the record. Now, did you have
And so the topic that brings up for me is just that sort of the relationship of like the physical body and its relationship to like spiritual, you know, of course, everything is of course holistic in its impact, right? But I just like that as a general topic, just the idea of like, let's talk about how the body exists sometimes separate from the mind, but is affected by things.
Well, here's how I would actually frame what I know about that as a practitioner. The body is never separate from the mind. And I know you just said that because you said, oh, holistic, whatever. But it's not holistic, whatever. It's like there literally is no separation. But I think what you might be pointing at is how you'll experience something as only in the body and not of the mind, or only in the mind, but not of the body.
Right.
Right. So it's what you're experiencing.
Right. It's the conscious version.
Well, what I would say is that, yeah, you could say it like that. Yep. And another framing of it would be something like the psyche, what it does with trauma, which I do get the sense that this has something to do with something that needs to be processed, some trauma. And remembering for the audience too, that when we say the word trauma, we're not necessarily talking about your dad used to abuse you when you're a child or like you got hit by a truck. Trauma can be big, medium, small. Any interruption into the system that causes a glitch in the system is traumatic. So I have a pretty wide holding for what constitutes trauma. Anyway, when there's a trauma in the system, the psyche will protect the organism from the awfulness of the trauma by giving you the experience of separation between body and mind.
Mm.
And it's done by design because at the time of the trauma, whatever it was too intense for your either body or mind or both or heart or spirit or psyche, something. It was too intense to actually process it. Because if it had fully processed it, you wouldn't be having the nightmare-y, panic attack-y, freezy thing. So our job together is to find, you know, what was the trauma, what happened, and can we integrate the experience now through emotional processing, spiritual processing, energetic processing, such that you don't have to have that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing is I'm wondering and I'm just asking, like, can we get movement for you on this today? Yes. Okay. This way. Because sometimes, you know, a large part of what I do with people is like, if someone comes to me and the thing they need to be treated, they need treatment for needs an acupuncturist, I will send you to an acupuncturist. You know what I mean? Like we talked about with Nicola, like, I don't know, maybe I'm not the person for you, but it looks like we can get some movement on it. So that's cool.
Right.
Any other thoughts or wonderings or things that you had on your mind before we dive in?
No, I mean, again, just sort of more background on the phenomenon itself is like one way I deal with it sometimes and has had a significant assist on like, at least in the moment of coping with it, has been to change venue. Like if I'm in my bed, I get up and I go down on the couch and I wrap myself up in a blanket and go fetal on the couch, but it's just a different space. And at least I'm able to then go back to sleep.
Hmm.
Whereas if I stay in my bed, I get stuck. So like, I don't know what that means. Like last night I got up and just sat in my chair and wrapped myself in a blanket and put some music into my ears. But I was sitting up and I fell asleep, but I don't think I would have had I not done that.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
And I don't know what that is. That just feels interesting to me to have.
Yeah. No, it is happen. Interesting. It's almost like you're interrupting the whatever was occurring to break the whatever is occurring.
But it doesn't solve the thing. It's kind of like the 12-step aphorism around like change. What is it? Like people try and change the location or whatever.
Oh, you mean a geographic cure?
Yeah.
They say I'm pulling a geographic, which is where you think like, I'll move to Hawaii and everything will be good.
Right.
But in this case, I don't see you like, you're not like thinking it's going to be everything's good. You're just like, let me get through this night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a temporary band-aid of like, okay, if I just shift the frame a little bit, just to get over I'm stuck in this space. So like, yeah. What can I do? Well, I could go somewhere else. That's one piece, tiny piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I mean, that's like survivalist stuff. Like my thing that I need someone to work with me on that I have a few appointments set up on about is coming up here is my terror of turbulence on airplanes.
Yeah.
And like it's like, I need someone to help me go into the space where that terror is living and shake it out of my system or integrate whatever part of me is dissociating in that time or da, da, da. So I have, yeah. So I hear you. We all need what we need and who the fuck sometimes this one's been as probably I've talked enough on here to people to know that like this plane thing has been with me for so long. And I've done so many healing sessions and so many different modalities to try to get at it. And it's just, we're not there yet. It's not done. And I have a lot of clients and students who will say things like, but I already did 3 sessions with you. Shouldn't I feel better about my entire childhood? And I'll be like, no, stick around for 20 years and then you'll get to that. You know, also the weird thing about healing, just as a sidebar for folks listening, is that so often when if I'll go in to attack one issue we bring light to it or you do parts work or EFT, whatever you're doing, and it'll clear some whole other issue. And I'll be like, great, I don't hate my dad anymore, but I still eat Cheetos for dinner every night. What's happening? Like I didn't solve the thing I went to solve, but it solved this whole other thing.
Right.
And that I find fascinating. I don't think that's what'll happen today with you, but that is a phenomenon.
Maybe it'll heal my back because my back's been fucked up lately too. So.
Oh, and truth, are they connected? No. Okay. Well, there you have that. Okay. So I should warn you and the listeners and Desmond that lately when I'm opening the records for people and we're doing healing work, because of whatever's happening on my own little spiritual journey over here, frequently I'm being guided to bring the Christ light through. And the Christ light is really intense. And I know a lot of what we do here already is pretty intense, but like the Christ light's really intense. So for the listeners, just and for Cassidy and for all of us, just a reminder that when I am transmitting the energy of the Christ light, this has nothing to do with religion. This is not a Christian practice. Not when it's coming through me anyway. Some Christian practitioners might call it a Christian practice because they identify the light of Christ as being like the whole thing and the answer to all the stuff. Here's how I frame that. I'm sure I've said this before, but I feel like a responsibility to articulate this again. The Christ light is a powerful divine light that can transmute stuck energies very effectively and align us more deeply with our authentic selves and with the vast all that is and the magic that we each contain. This dude, Jesus Christ, was a guy who was on the earth, I believe, and he was a prophet and a wizard and had a lot of gifts. And he carried this thing called the Christ light. It's just the thing he had. So people knew it was amazing. He also had this ability to love everyone. Like he didn't judge between the hookers and the business guys, or whatever, you know, the business guys. Anyway, he loved everyone equally. And people were like, that's amazing. Now we're going to codify his teachings and build dogma around the light. And we're going to teach you through the dogma that you need a priest or somebody else to access this special, special light that this man carries. And that was done. Some people at the time historically did it for actually altruistic reasons to like protect the light and make it so that people had to like give a shit enough to invest in the journey that they weren't going to just be like, yeah, give me the light. And then I'll piss all over it with my dick.
With my dick. But I mean, it wouldn't be an episode if you didn't like somehow bring some really crude language into your description of the Christ light, because that's pretty much been consistent. And I love you for that. I wouldn't be happy if you didn't do that.
I just wonder, when's the day that you'll stop commenting on it and just never. Let it be what it is?
Nope.
Okay, great. Never. So some people did it for altruistic dick-based reasons. Other people made dogma and religion around this Christ light because they wanted to control humanity and they wanted to control the populace and all the evil reasons that we all are cranky about religion. That's true. People did that. Now, what we're doing here later in the records in 5 minutes, when I'm in Cassidy's records and I go, okay, I'd like to invite the Christ light in. We're not turning Cassidy, Jamal, Jackson, Malcolm, Jamal, Warner, Brown into a Christian. This isn't about a religion or converting people. This is about transmitting energetically through the heart space a light that is quite powerful that the guy named Jesus the Christ came and had a lot of into Cassidy's places in his being where he might be holding some stuff that he can't process on his own just yet. And so it's a powerful light, and that's all it is. This has nothing to do with religion. Everybody calm down.
Boom.
I'm done.
Did we record that? Because then we can just play it each time we talk about the Christ light.
Oh, I like that. Everybody calm down. Just that part.
I think we're replacing our soundtrack. What's the word? Our theme song. It's just going to be
everybody calm down. I love it so much. What I love about it is the obviousness. Of course, it's their dick.
Well,
so then to say it makes it so extra stupid.
What if they like peed in a jar and then like poured the jar?
Their dick did it originally.
It's true.
Could the tagline of our podcast be?
Is that the podcast?
I think it should be All the Answers Podcast with their dick.
With their dicks.
Okay. Here we go. Let's do spiritual shit now. You ready to do spiritual shit like a spiritual growler?
Born ready.
Okay. Good times. I'm a little punchy. I should say for people listening, yesterday I had a client. Can you imagine that? People pay me to work with them.
People entrust you with their soul work?
With their trauma and their most vulnerable selves.
And you're like, I'll heal it with my dick.
With my dick! I'm
We're never getting a sponsor.
We need to start our sponsorship seeking at like good vibrations and
MeUndies, you know, because they contain my dick.
Your dick is in your undies.
And they sponsor every podcast. So
they really fucking do, don't they?
Yeah.
If a bidet company doesn't want to get a piece of this, then they're misguided.
Ah, Tushy. HelloTushy.com. You are right.
They're missing out. We invite you to offer your sponsorship, which will grow our listenership significantly, like a growler.
Clean your growler, Tushy.
HelloTushy.com. We talked about this, right? How?
Yeah,
like,
don't look up Tushy.com.
Or do, because you need a fun afternoon, but it won't get you to any bidets.
Right.
But if you need some sexy time.
If you look up growler.com, I'm real curious what that would show you.
Desmond, growler.com? No? Okay. He's yeah, he's our dramaturg. This is what we need you for.
Oh. Nope. That was a stretch.
It's going to be about beer. That's my guess.
Yeah. Boring. All right. What are we doing?
He's looking up growler.com.
Oh, we found it. Okay. What do we got?
Sophisticated audio entertainment for children.
Growler.com? Yeah, we're not getting their sponsorship anytime soon.
Growler programs are designed to grab those little ears with the amazing world of kids' audio.
Why growler.com? With their dicks.
Nope.
Growler. Why?
Because it's about like, that's weird. But you know what? More power to them. I hope they are successful in their endeavors.
With their dicks.
Look for the link in our show notes.
Hey, cross promotion, man. That's where it's all at.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
June.
June who?
Do you need to be so annoying?
Wow. That was off of growler.com?
Yep. It's one of their classics.
Okay, let's do this. You ready?
Okay.
Now we're doing it. We've all taken our growlers. We're ready to dive in. Let's meet God, shall we?
Let's take some breaths.
Let's take our breasts and meet God with our dicks. And so, we're going to close our eyes.
Never recovering.
Oof. Do you have breasts, Cassidy?
I mean, I have things that are round in shape and have a nipple.
Hmm. What do you refer to them as?
It's my chest, technically, but I'm willing for them to be called breasts. I'm really not attached on that one.
So, during pillow...
Would I say like No, I might talk about my nipples. I wouldn't necessarily talk about my breasts. I want you to grab my breast. I don't think I would say that.
Okay, great. What's the weirdest thing anyone's ever said to you during sex? We'll get to the spiritual shit. We'll get there. What is it?
I don't know about weirdest, but what comes to mind is something I just was reporting recently about a long ago person. Just going in the midst of whatever is happening. What are you doing? That's off-putting.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's different than like, oh, what are you doing? Which okay, is,
but hold on.
But just, what are you doing? What it's very were confrontative.
You, what were you doing?
I don't know. Probably fiddling with the part of my body with the part of theirs. Maybe finger. I don't know. But
you don't know?
I was probably down below doing something down below.
Okay.
She was, this was a long, the one I'm thinking of was a really long time ago.
Were you guys both really young?
Yeah, but she had a weird way of like confronting you with things, which was felt not fun. Like I think she thought she was being impish, but instead it was like shamey or weird or like what's that? Like, I was trying to think, is it not, you don't like it? Tell me, give me feedback. Don't like challenge me.
I know. That's, yep.
How about what you, are you doing, Katie? What's the weirdest thing that's ever been said?
Oh, I'll tell you. But before I do that, it's, I think like one of the most useful things I've learned from coaches and therapists and stuff about like as a female person who is clueless about a lot of like normal things in life, how like including how to talk to men about what you need.
Yeah.
Both in life and in the bedroom, because the bedroom's not part of life, is that it never have it, that make sure above all else, it doesn't have a confrontational judgment in it. Like,
yeah.
That's like talking to dudes 101.
Yeah.
Don't be like, why are you doing that, loser? That's not gonna help.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have to like, could you try it like that? Oh, I love it when you love right. that. It's or, all like, or
if
it is
like, if you need to be critical, you'd be like, hey, sweetie, that kind of hurts a little bit. Could you do something else? Like, you can still do it, but you got to, you know,
yeah,
couch it.
Yeah. I'm thinking of several stories that are not positive towards men. It's these are it's not terrible. Men. Well, it's not men. It's these men, right? Yeah. And it's like these men were like, not great. Okay. Weirdest thing I've heard in that context was, let me piss on you. Come on, you'll love it.
Oh, that's a common one. Come on. That's not that weird. But it's like the come on, you'll love it part.
Let me piss on you is common?
Yeah, that's a pretty light kink, I'm going to tell you.
Okay, wait, but you're a lady, you're me, and you're 20.
Oh, it can be jarring and it can be approached differently. I just don't find that one that outlandish.
I think it's just as outlandish, if not more so than what are you doing?
Okay.
Desmond?
I see how that landed for you.
Was it just like that? No pauses, Katie?
Yeah.
Was there any? And remember... I remember, Cassidy, in 2020, that might be a light kink. I think we're talking mid-90s, maybe,
yeah,
Katie?
Yeah,
we're,
yeah.
The internet doesn't exist yet. This is
well, right. Maybe context is required. So I was young, early 20s, traveling abroad in Ireland by myself.
That's a lot.
Drunk out of my fucking mind, in a cab with a stranger, blacked out, come to in his bed. I had some troubles in my 20s, everybody. I really was struggling at the time.
Yeah, a lot of that. That's a lot of setup to a bad situation.
We're having a lot of experiences in the bed and it's going just fine. And then whispered into my 23-year-old ear is, let me piss on you. Come on, you'll love it. Stone cold sober instantly. Huh. Sat upright, found my clothes like laser vision, found him, grabbed him in my arms and fled the room.
All right. So that was not a good one for you. I'm just going to say that I understand that the way it was presented was shocking. I just don't find that one to be, I feel like in a lot of contexts, that one would just be like, yeah, no thanks.
Desmond?
You need backup on this, Katie?
I want to know his, I don't know. I want to know his.
If everything that you said leading up to that experience, if someone had whispered, let's lay on the couch and cuddled, I would have been like, I got to get the fuck out of here. Like, I blacked out in a cab. I woke up in your house. I don't know your last name. I'm sober now. I got to fucking go.
Like everything about that was unsettling.
Like,
so
did you ever
see
this guy again? Like, this was this someone you hung out with a couple times in this trip?
Let me see if I get what you're saying. You're saying that because of the context, no matter what he would have said, it would have been awful?
I think you leaving was the right call.
Oh, well, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll agree with that.
That's not up for debate. That, I mean, none of this should have occurred in a healthy human's life, but I was not healthy at the time. Fair enough on that point. But what I'm asking you, Desmond, is like, you're on a date and a lady says to you, whisper style, let me piss on you. Come on, you'll love it. Before you're married,
In 1995, I do the exact same thing you did.
Okay.
Today, I'm like,
Let's discuss.
Let's give it a shot. Can we do it in the bathtub at least so that we can cut down on cleanup? You know,
he did suggest that.
Yeah, I feel like the abruptness of it. I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
but the content isn't shocking to me.
Huh.
But the context of the content is where
I think
it becomes weird to me.
We're just seeing like I am pretty vanilla on this level. If it comes to poop and pee pee, I am out of the game. I am not playing baseball.
Yeah, my line is between those two in terms of this being weird or not weird.
Really?
Yeah. Like pee, whatever. Let's discuss it or, you know, show me a video or whatever. Poop. Nope. Nothing. Get away. Done. Bye. So that's just where my line is.
Side note to that point. I've had some very rational, loving, healthy people I've dated who didn't mind the poo-poo talk. And I was like, there's no universe in which we are talking about poo-poo in the context of sex. But they were like not crazy people, very poo-poo was fine. And they were lovely humans.
Okay, here, I'm going to hypothetical with you. I don't know. Wait. It's hard to put yourself back in the 1990s.
All right, go ahead. Yep.
Wake up, drunk guy. You're getting down and you're enjoying it. Sounds like you were into it at the time, if you can remember.
Yep. Up until...
He's. What if he says, hey, can I ask you something? What do you think about the idea, stay with me now, of you getting into the bathtub and letting me pee on you? What do you think?
Exact same reaction.
Okay.
Because, and let me say why.
But there's no trust at this point. So he's bringing up an extreme action without establishing trust. Lover does it to you now that you've established a bit of trust with.
Okay. Definitely not is my answer.
That's fine.
And.
But not get the fuck out.
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
Definitely not. And feeling a little uncomfortable about you as a person now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like feeling like, what? Why? What? Now, let me say to that, when certain people in my past have said the things about the poop, I did have. Here's what was said. Also, let's give a little, let's be generous. I can't believe we're doing this conversation.
This is a hell of an episode.
When they said the thing they said, it was something like, I was making a joke about like, I would never, what a crazy thing. Never, no way, poop in the sex, no way. And they said, well, I don't know. There's something kind of intimate about it. Yeah. And I went, what? And all my judgments came up. And then they said, I mean, you know, it's like pretty intimate. If you like took a shit on my chest, I would feel pretty close to you. And I remember thinking, because I respect this person so much and like we have a lot of love, it was like, you know, the image of the computer where the little wires in the brain are like all sparking out. Like my brain had to be like, this is an amazing human who's rational and sensitive and wonderful and is just saying to me that that would feel intimate to them. So it really helped me. I like do not want to do that. That doesn't work for me at all.
Right.
But it did help open me to like, wait a minute. You're not necessarily a crazy person if you want to shit on another person.
Right. Now, the lines that we can have for ourselves, I think, this is where we got to talk about the concept of like kink shaming and stuff like.
Yeah.
I think it's important to be able to go, oh, that's something I would consider or nope, that is nope. That's a nope. But the no, hopefully the nope isn't directed at the person, but more at the act. The
right,
nope is
course.
Like. Oh, that, okay, that is something you'd be interested in. Okay.
Okay, but let me ask you something. Do you honestly feel, and this may just be a deep lesson for me, I don't know yet. Do you honestly feel that if a woman said to you during sex that she would like you, in a gentle, loving way, to shit on her in some way, sexually?
Yeah.
To sexually shit on her.
Yeah.
That there would be no part of you that would think, maybe this person has some issues I'm not comfortable navigating.
I think there would have to be other pieces of that that would. Yeah, I mean, of course, not no part of me, but But I think it's more a matter of like, what does that bring up for me? Oh, how deep is this thing? How much is this? Or is it just like, oh, I think this would be fun. I'd like it. It would be cool. And then you go, oh, yeah, okay. No. Like, I totally agree with, not because I want it, but with what the person is, how that your person in the past has framed that. It's like, for them, it was like, then, I mean, because it's so taboo, it's about transgression, a lot of these things.
Okay.
The more transgressive an act is,
right,
the more trust must exist between the participants.
Okay.
And for some people, that transgression is where the, I mean, I'm totally armchair psychologizing this, but for some folk, that transgression of that's where the intimacy occurs is within that place of like, well, we now have this thing between us that nobody else is willing to engage in. And we just did this.
Okay.
Now, if it was like, I can't get off unless you do this, I'm going to be like, okay, well, then maybe we aren't a match. I'm going to try not to be in deep judgment of the person, but I might be like, sounds like we're not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was just like, I would dig it if you did, and oh, well.
Okay. I'm going to publicly own that I have judgment on this topic.
Yep.
I am judgy on this topic. Now, it's interesting because usually my first reaction to like, I have judgment on a topic is, let's go to work on not being so judgmental on that topic. It's interesting because my first reaction is like, I don't need to work on that. That's all right. I'm in judgment.
There are certain hills we need to die on and there's certain ones we don't.
Yep. Now, I don't want to lose our sexual shitting listenership. So allow me to own, if you are a person who enjoys sex and shitting together, I have judgment and it's my issue. It is not your issue. I have a judgment of that that is clearly my own shit. So it's not to shame anyone, but it's like, you know what it is when I think about it? Damn it, I'm already unpacking it. I'm not going to be in judgment of it.
You're working on it, aren't you?
Can't help it. I just can't help it. I do my work. But what comes up for me is like, because I'm so trained in looking at what is the originating trauma underneath everything, my mind goes, that started somewhere. We could unfurl that for you so that you no longer need someone to shit on you in order to get off. And wouldn't that be a relief? But even though I'm aware that even though I know that, and we could do that if you wanted to, I also shouldn't be in judgment of it. And certainly if I were working with a client, I wouldn't be in judgment. I'd be practicing actively not judging them in the moment. But if you're asking me like in my personal life, do I go to judgment pretty quick about that concept? I do. I go right there. Yeah.
I'm going to remind the listeners and you to go back and listen to the episode starring Melina Williams. She did a really good job of sort of unpacking how kink is part of that work.
Yeah.
How engaging in your kink is part of the work of engaging with the trauma.
Well, my perspective would be it can be part of the work and there is another way to go as well.
Yeah.
You can work on it a totally different way other than engaging with it, or you can engage with it and get to wherever the hell you want to get or not get. Okay. Yes, Desmond. And you were going to say something, I think.
Yes. I want to lead you down another path that could land on poop experimentation that may not start with an issue, because you were saying that there's got to be something got there.
Huh.
So what I was thinking is like, I'm trying to think of how someone goes from like poop is gross and you flush it down the toilet and you never think about it again. And that's how life should be, period, to like something maybe a little less taboo that maybe shouldn't be less taboo in our society, but it is anal sex.
Right.
So if you're a guy who has a lot of anal sex, you're going to come in contact with poop.
And it's not going to bother you because you're going to be like, it's part of the deal. It's the price of admission.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that just slowly builds to like, oh, maybe this isn't so bad.
Okay. I hear you. And also, I want to add, it could be like you could look at or frame my judgment of poop and sex together as like anti-gay in a way. Not that like gay people necessarily like have sex with poop at all or into poop sexually, but because gay men in particular are dealing with each other's asses regularly, if they're that type of, if they're into that, then you're right. Gay men would necessarily be like kind of dealing with poop a lot more regularly. My two favorite drag queens who I listen to all the time and I try to get you guys into, but it didn't happen. On the very hilarious, if you need a great YouTube channel show to watch, it's called UNHHH. They talk regularly about when they douche to prepare for a date.
Uh-huh.
And like gay protocols around the having anal sex, which I think is like, I have no judgment of that. And I go like, yeah, you fucking do what you got to do. But it does, now that we're talking about it, it makes me go, well, why am I not in judgment of that? But I am in judgment of the poop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not that far away from each other. They're the same region.
How do you feel about anal sex, Katie, personally?
Pretty good.
All right. So guess what? I'm just going to tell you, it has occurred with somebody. They have experienced at least a tiny bit with you.
Oh,
they may not have told you.
Of course. I'm not confused on that point. I don't think I have no shit in my ass.
This episode has taken a wonderful turn.
Here's the thing. They haven't, if there's been ass dynamics, we haven't turned it into like, oh, there's shit on my dick. Let's play with it now.
No. Right.
They've just navigated it on their own.
Right.
I don't know.
They've managed around it.
I'm just saying that's still a different thing.
Sure.
But you're not wrong to be like, look, it's there. If you don't mind, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
If you want to dig into more kink, check out episode 29 starring Molina Williams.
Episode
what's
29.
It called? Because sometimes the numbering doesn't come up.
Don't ring out your kinks.
Aw, that's nice. All right. Well, I feel lubricated up and ready for...
Right, and that got serious. So we're a little less punchy now.
Exactly. So now I'm ready for you to enter me. I mean, to enter your soul. I mean, to get into your records.
Rectum? Records?
To get into your anus. To get to do spiritual work. Is that good?
Yep.
Here we go.
The Akashic rectums? Is that disrespectful? Did I just disrespect?
No.
No.
When have I ever needed any respect?
With my dick.
With my dick. Never. Except that I need respect. I do. All right, let's do it.
I'm going to take some breaths.
All right. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. Let's do it. Okay. So we're going to close our eyes and we're going to go Midwestern. Oh, yeah. We're going to take a couple deep breaths into the anus, AKA the low belly. They're synonymous now. Breathing deep into the low belly. I'm coming back. Breathing deep into the low belly, allowing ourselves to drop into our feeling space, the emotional space. Now everything sounds like a joke to me. And let's bring our attention to the bottom of each foot. We're going to visualize a little foot chakra spinning at the bottom center of each foot, like a little tornado. Yeah. And we'll just sort of allow or imagine the idea to exist that this little tornado that's spinning is opening a vortex of light that allows the electromagnetic field of your body to commune more directly with the electromagnetic field of the earth. Amen. So let's see a little foot chakra spinning open and open and open, bigger and bigger, until it spins open and so big that there's no more edges to it. And the bottom surface area of each foot is a nice open window of light, a space through which we can easily imagine dropping 500 energetic roots from each foot hundreds of miles into the earth. Just imagining now that the energy field of our bodies and our souls can extend in the form of roots, like tree roots, hundreds of miles down into the planet, 500 energetic roots from your left foot, extending hundreds of miles down, and 500 energetic roots from your right foot, extending hundreds of miles down. And as those roots anchor themselves to the here and now, they go left and right, forward and back, deeper and deeper into the earth. And then as those roots continue to anchor themselves to the here and now, we're going to see a grounding cord extending from the base of the spine. We're going to imagine that it's a foot and a half wide and that it shoots down like a tunnel or a tube or a tree root to the center of the earth. And we're going to really allow that image to be real in our imaginal realm, in our mind's eye. And as that tree root or that branch or that grounding cord hits the center of the earth, we're going to visualize a river of light flowing up from the soul of this planet, Sophia Gaia, the soul of this earth, flowing up like a river of light into the root chakra, flowing forward easily into the hip sockets, flowing down through the quads, glutes, hamstrings, knees, shins, calves, ankles and feet, and flowing down into those roots that we just sent hundreds of miles into the earth. So we're receiving up through that grounding cord, and we're giving down through the roots, through the base of our feet, allowing a give and take in the form of a tripod grounding structure with the earth. We'll allow now the heart chakra or the center of the chest to soften as a result of being more fully grounded. We'll just kind of acknowledge that that's a thing that occurs. We're going to do the full visualization this time. We're going to visualize now, Cassidy, above your head, a balloon in the shape of your physical body, like a replica of you floating above your head. And we're going to say that inside of that floating balloon replica of your body is everything that needs to be transmuted today on this topic of your possible panic attacks, sleep paralysis-y panic attacks, everything that's stuck or in the way, all the trauma, the pain, the suffering. And we're going to acknowledge while all of that energy is sitting above you in that three-dimensional replica of your body, we're going to acknowledge that what is required of you is that you be willing to face whatever that is when we get to it, that you be willing to emote and express whatever needs to be expressed when and if we get to it. And as that balloon is floating above our heads, we're going to now visualize the balloon tail dropping down from the base of that balloon into the top of your actual body's head, down through the center of your head, into your throat, down into your chest, into your solar plexus, into your second chakra, down to the root chakra, all the way through the grounding cord. And then it's going to wrap itself around a little crank at the center of the earth. Okay. And so we've got this 3D balloon floating above us, and we've got the tail of the balloon coming through the center of the body, through the grounding cord, and wrapping around the center of the earth where there's a little crank. And we're going to imagine that that crank starts to turn and pull the kite tail or the balloon tail down and down, tighter and tighter, allowing the balloon replica of your physical form to descend into your body, your physical body in the here and now. I'd like you to see in your mind's eye, Cassidy, the feet of your balloon merging into the feet of your body, the legs of your balloon merging into your legs, the spinal column, the back, the torso, the chest and shoulders of your balloon merging into your own, the arms of your balloon merging into your arms, the neck and the head of your balloon merging into your neck and head. See now the full balloon, every single molecule and corner of it merging into the physical form of your body now, so that there is no separation between any corner of that balloon and what it carries from any corner of you and what you carry. And we're going to see that balloon tail from the base of your spine tightening to the center of the earth one more time. Let that balloon tail be nice and long and strong and tight and taut so that nothing is pulling that balloon off of your center and out of your body. I mean, and from here, we do acknowledge the forces of light and just continuing to breathe, Cassidy, into your low belly, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Cassidy Jamal Brown in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Cassidy Jamal Brown through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Cassidy Jamal Brown have for Cassidy Jamal Brown. And I'm going to go quiet for just a moment. Okay, and so as we deepen into the Akashic Records of our buddy and friend and companion in life, fellow brother traveler in the way, Cassidy Jamal Brown's Akashic Records, we're asking just that anything and everything that would keep Cassidy or myself from dropping very deeply into his records and into alignment with his essential self as it is aligned with the soul of consciousness or the divine. We ask for all of that to be removed, cleared, uncreated, integrated, destroyed, released, or whatever else needs to happen to it now. Okay. And so we're looking today, as we drop into the Akashic Records of Cassidy Jamal Brown, we're asking for the source of these panic attack-like symptoms that Cassidy's experiencing when he sleeps. And sometimes when you're awake, Cass, I forget.
Very rarely, but it has happened.
Okay. Mostly when he sleeps and sometimes when he's awake. For the source of that to be brought to the fore, for both of us to become aware of, and for whatever stuck energy that is to be transmuted, cleared, released, integrated through his system. Now, so that he doesn't have to experience these anymore. And so I'm present right now, Cassidy, with your second chakra down at the low belly, just above the kind of genital space, but below the belly button. And as it connects up into your spinal column, into your brainstem. So if you could be aware for just a moment of that connection, low belly to spine to brainstem, let's just be present there for a moment. And then I'll check in with you about what's happening for you. Everything unconscious, hidden, buried, unsighted, or unseen for Cassidy Jamal Brown that holds in place whatever it is that creates these reactions when he's sleeping or not sleeping, we're asking for that to be. Brought to conscious attention, made obvious and made known. We're asking to feel whatever we need to feel right now together. We're asking for Cassidy's consciousness to be willing to feel whatever he needs to feel in order for this to integrate. And we're asking for support from the divine realm, the divine light, and the Christ light, if necessary, in fleshing this out and flooding this up. Okay. So what's happening for you, Cassidy, now when we talk about this, as we breathe into this, what are you aware of in your body, if anything?
I mean, I feel like it sort of just triggered a very, very light version of it. Like I'm feeling a sort of a nervousness running from around my sort of tailbone-ish, a little above, up to my brainstem. Like, and a little twitchiness and a slight like breath wanting to go.
How cool. Okay, great.
But it's a very light version of
it's,
the thing.
It's great that it's light. That's great. That doesn't mean it's not real. So let's
it's there though.
Great. Okay, great. So let's merge into that. Let's be really, we're going to kind of say to the symptoms, even though they're light, we're going to say to them, from your heart silently inside yourself. And I get this thing of like, they're like, really forget that you're performing or that anyone's watching. It's just you and me here and the divine. Yeah. And we're going to have your heart say to the symptoms everywhere they appear in your body, I see you. I acknowledge you. Allah, I value you. And in acknowledging the symptoms, we're going to allow them to integrate without having an attachment to anything changing. Okay. We're not going to try to change this energy. Just from your heart, Cass, you're going to say to the symptoms, I see you, I acknowledge you, I value you. I mean. We're just kind of owning that we're giving these energies room to exist without trying to change them. And sometimes when we do that, the symptoms can actually increase for a moment and sometimes not. We'll just keep repeating gently that phrase from the heart into the low belly, nervous system, brainstem. Giving up any need or demand we might have to understand where this comes from or why. We're going to just see it as an energy that's stuck and desires to integrate and or release itself. And what happens for you, Cass, as you're saying that to these symptoms from your heart?
I feel like it sort of localizes. So now I'm like the sort of broad spectrum of the thing is sort of a little less seeable, but I'm like, oh, there's something in my chest. Oh, that's gone. Now there's something in my throat. So it's kind of like just sort of gently kind of just oozing around whatever. I don't even know how to name the sensation. It's just like awareness of chest. Oh, now awareness of throat.
Got
but it doesn't
okay.
really
That's
stay
great.
Very intense.
Great, great, great. It's very common for these kinds of energies to move around like that. Cool. That's great. Okay. And so it was, I heard you say that it was the chest and then it was the throat. And what is it now, if anything?
I am very aware of the left side of my chest, like my heart. Like, not that it's beating hard, but I just, my attention is there.
Okay, great. Do me a favor. Now your attention is there. Let us bring your felt sense there, if you could, into the left side of the heart. Like we're going to kind of feel into it. And if you could repeat, or it's like, this sounds wild, but trust that your heart can do this when I say this. Okay. Just pretend. Mm-hmm. Pretend that your heart is capable to say to the left side of itself, I see you, I acknowledge you, I value you. And let's do that for just a few minutes, silently internally, knowing that the heart can do it without you. Yeah. And if it helps to repeat the phrase, that's welcome. I see you.
I see you.
I mean, internally.
I acknowledge you. Oh.
It's okay. Yeah, and just keep feeling it. And if the feeling moves, just follow where it goes. And then what's happening now?
With no particular like emotionality attached to it, I'm very aware of my pulse starting in my chest and also a little bit in my stomach, more on the left side, but like just literally as like almost like a biological thing that is not, and it actually feels very slow and steady. Like it feels very calm. It's just, but I can like, I don't think I've ever been this aware of my pulse without like putting my finger on my throat.
Okay, cool. So let's do the same action with that. We're going to, with your felt sense, we're going to feel into that pulse where it shows up. And we're just going to be there. And from the heart, we're going to say to that pulse, the same mantra. Keeping in mind, we have no attachment to it's not being there or it changing. We just see it, acknowledge it, value it. Amen. And keeping in mind again, if it moves or if any new awarenesses arrive, let's continue the same practice with those new spaces, those new places, just for a moment. Okay, and then what's happening for you now, Kaz?
I'm shrugging because it's like, I don't know, sort of not much, but in a sort of a neutral way.
Cool. Is the pulse happening?
If I put my attention to it, but it's not foremost in my awareness.
And when you put your attention to it, tell me about what happens when you put your attention to it.
Oh, I can just feel literally feel my heart going shoom, boom, shoom, boom. It's kind of cool. I mean, it's just an ability to see perceive my heart beating that I've not felt before.
I see. Okay.
That's and it's it. Not it's just more. Yeah, it's not overwhelming or loud.
And it's not specifically on the left side anymore?
No. Well, it is like where the heart itself is. Like it feels biological.
Yeah, I get that. I'm just asking, is it on the left side of your biological heart?
I mean, it's on the left side of my chest. So I don't know.
Right. So it's not on the left side of your biological heart. It's just the left side of your chest where the heart is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great. And you're just
feels like my whole heart that I'm feeling.
And you're present and aware to your pulse in your heart.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to check in now. Okay. So have we cleared this entire phenomenon and everything holding it in place for Cassidy Jamal Brown now? Truth, Lords, Masters, Teachers, Christ, like, yes. Is there anything else that needs to be cleared for him, integrated, held, seen, acknowledged, felt, or opened? So that he no longer ever has to experience this phenomenon again? No. Okay. Is there any truth? Lords, masters, and teachers of the records of Cassidy Jamal Brown, Cassidy's guides, guardians, teachers, the divine light itself. Is there anything else Cassidy needs to know or understand, or that he would benefit from knowing or understanding so that this does not have to occur again? Yes. Huh. And I'm listening, and then I'm going to ask a question. So, Lords, Masters, Teachers for Cassidy, are there, is there anything we can do to change this structurally? No. Okay. So they're giving, this is really interesting. The formula, if you will, or the practice, we should say, that would be most beneficial for you to stave off having to experience the intensity of this experience, right? Having to experience the intensity of this series of symptoms would be every night before you go to bed to make conscious note through journaling or otherwise, however you prefer, whether you prefer to speak into an audio recording device or write it with your hand or type it. Every single emotion you're having, every single emotion you're aware of, and every single emotion you're not aware of. And what does that mean? As you begin to write or type or speak, you will uncover other emotions that you weren't aware you were having. For example, we would give the writing prompt or the speaking prompt, I wish, I want, I need, I hate, I desire, I wonder, I'm sorry. Okay. Glad this is being recorded so you can find all that again. And allowing yourself to speak honestly and privately into your recording device or write down every single thought, feeling, or sensation that wants to be expressed with each of those prompts. Do you understand so far?
Yeah, I think so.
Questions?
So I wish, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I want, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yes, however, here's an adjustment. We would give it to you this way. I wish I could have cake and not gain weight. I wish my mother weren't poking at me so much. I wish the dog would sleep more still. I wish I could have $1 million. So you'll notice each sentence begins with the phrase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you'll notice we're not in judgment of the wide range of things you're wishing. Some are about the present moment. Some are about the future. Some are small. Some are big. Does that make mm-hmm. sense? Okay. Questions so far?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So you would do, I wish at the beginning of each sentence, and it matters that you say, I wish at the beginning of each sentence. Why? Because it brings you in contact with the emotional truth of what you're wishing for. And the same for I hate, and the same for I desire, and the same for I want. The trick is to not judge any of it and to speak honestly and to put the phrase at the beginning of each sentence. When you do this, Cassidy, they say, you will give your conscious and unconscious minds and hearts the opportunity to sync up and become connected and to process whatever might be happening for you about your present, your past, or your future before you go to sleep. Part of what was creating these experiences you've had is there was a kind of, you could think of it as like a mechanical glitch in your emotional, spiritual system, like the pipes of your system, that meant that any emotional thing unprocessed when you went to sleep could get caught up in the broken pipe section of this glitch. We have repaired the glitch, but that doesn't mean that your unconscious mind couldn't recreate the blocking of the processing, such that you could experience discomfort either in the same way or a different way, more likely in a different way. So the homework is important to, before you go to bed each night, this process, what it does is, this is funny, but the image I get is it's flushing the growler of your emotional day down through your grounding cord and into the earth. And they're even showing me the image of, like, you could visualize as you're writing these things or saying them, the energy of them dissipating down through your grounding cord into the earth, or you could see them dissipating up through your crown, out the top of your head. Emotions are energy in motion, but when we block their movement as human beings, when we stop their motion, they just become energy that is stuck, that needs expression and will find a way. Your particular structure internally created this weird, wacky way because it was the only way that was safe and then the only way that would work. It's not required anymore, but, and you're going to need to keep the pipes clean. We see this as the simplest and easiest way to give you. Now, of course, none of it matters if you don't do it. Yeah, they're like, you wouldn't say to yourself, oh, I don't feel like pooping today. If you have to poop, you would poop. So similarly, we would ask you, like, when you find yourself saying, I don't feel like writing down my feelings today. Well, you know, cleansing your emotional digestive tract is just as important, if not the most important form of release you can give yourself, particularly someone like yourself who is much more emotional than he might necessarily name or identify himself as in his waking conscious sense of himself. We understand that you understand that you're an emotional being, and we would like to offer that you might even be more of an emotional being than you think of yourself as at this time. This nightly exercise, if you give yourself the gift of practicing it, try for 4 days, just 4 days. You could commit to that as an experiment and just see, oh, I slept better. Oh, nothing was different. Oh, I didn't have any symptoms. I pooped differently in the morning. My digestion was better. My vision was better. Something. But we can assure you that things will flow more readily if you give yourself the gift of this. Reminding yourself, of course, as you practice this practice, that this is private and no one ever need hear, see, know about it or know about it. But you can't just do it as a practice in your mind where you just say it in your mind while you're going to bed. It doesn't work. You've got to say it out loud into a recording or write it down with pen. Feel free to burn it after if you write it because you don't want anyone to see it, or flush it down the toilet, to continue this metaphor. Whatever works for you. All right. Any questions?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay. Any resistances?
Only my standard awareness of my ability to say I'm going to do something and then just kind of blow it off.
Yeah.
So that's, but you know, I've already been called out on that.
Okay. Yeah. And they're giving you, they're like, what, if, just 4 days, just try for 4 days. And really, it's very, then very stop. Gentle. Yeah. You just 4 days, because you can do 4 days and you'll learn so much. They're like, yeah. Anthropologist, no, the ones that sift through the dirt, archaeologist. So you're like an archaeologist of your own, you're excavating your own old dinosaur bones by allowing yourself to do this. The key in doing it is to not stop writing until there's literally nothing else you could say. And the saying, remember, the saying is after the feeling. So you say it and you feel it, or we would say it this way for you. The saying is with the feeling. As you say it or write it, please feel it. And that's a practice unto itself. Okay. Does that make some sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Question. There was a long list of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, I want, I need more than life. Sorry, that it just reminded me of Into the Woods. Is the instruction to actually literally yes. write five things for every single one of those questions?
Not five things.
You write, like, as many as you possibly can for every single.
You write forever until there's nothing to say.
On each question.
Correct. And some nights you'll notice there's only two for one of them, but 50 for another. And then the next night, if you come at it with no judgment, you might have 50 for each. And the next night, you might only have one for seven of them. And the next night, it'll be different every day because every one is different every day.
Yeah. So my resistance that's coming up is this sounds like an hour's worth of work every night. And I
sure.
And I know myself. I have trouble brushing my teeth every night.
Yeah. So let that stop you then.
Well, that's, just acknowledging the truth of my own resistance on that.
Yes, the truth is one thing, but the next step to do with your truth is to do it anyway. You can resist all day and still do it. You have choice.
Yeah.
And the good news is, as you do this exercise, you can write, and you should write, the resistance. I hate is one of the options. Doing this. I hate writing this. I hate spending time on this. I hate feeling things. I hate Katie. I hate God. I hate all this. Please, please, please articulate your resistance. That's how you get through resistance.
Yeah.
So the only way out is through. Yeah. 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 It's funny, the human race looking for an answer and hating the answer that's given.
Right.
And we understand it because it's like your imaginations are so vast. You can conceive of the worlds where we dwell, the beings of light, consciousness, the divine. You can conceive of these worlds. You can even feel them. You can tap into them. So you hate and resist the part where you have to be in a nervous system and a body. Because you know what's possible. You could be flying and soaring. You could be wind. You could be consciousness without a nervous system. But you're not. Yeah. Okay. Well, while we're in here, anything else?
Oh. I thought you were asking them. You're asking me.
I'm asking you.
Nothing that comes to mind right this second. I'm just trying to think. Yeah. No, you gave me the practice. The question I was going to ask was, is there any practice I can, you know, or should I cut out coffee or, you know, anything I should do? But you gave me the do.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Okay. Yeah, there's a no on that too. It's a big no.
And... I guess the answer was, yeah, I was going to ask, is there any value in me knowing anything more specific about the sort of context of this occurring?
No, because for you, you would just grab onto the narrative of that with your mind and then spin and spin and spin and write another narrative about the narrative in response to the narrative and then have feelings about your response to the first narrative and so on and so on.
God, I'm exhausting.
You know, and in certain cases, we would freely welcome and offer detail, but not here, not now. For that reason, for your own highest good. Okay, any other questions?
No.
Okay. What time are we at? 4:30. And we started at, when did we start?
Three,
my time. Okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah, we have plenty of time. We can do whatever we want.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm in your records. There's nothing else you want to know?
My mind often goes blank when we do that. Like where I might have had something before, but now like we're working with this, so that's all my attention is on. Okay. I don't have any other things right this second. Okay. I mean, my ongoing question is the thing that I'm obsessed with lately is about it, but I've fucking asked the question before and I haven't done anything with the information. So it just has to do with like, I keep spinning on the thought, like, I want to make a movie. I want to be in a movie. And like, what do I do with that?
Okay. Okay. Let me listen for a moment and see. All right. Well, the thing to do with it is to, okay, is it in his high school? We do it now. Is it in his high school? We give it as homework. Well, I don't know why that is, but they're saying, here's what you could do if you were willing to do anything later. We're going to describe something in real detail now. So
okay.
If you're going to listen.
I'm actually going to write it down.
Okay, great. So the desire to make a movie lives as an energy somewhere in your body. We're going to give you a hint down in the second chakra. Now, if you find it somewhere else in your body, fantastic. That's fine too. Okay. That's mm-hmm. step number one is you'll sit quietly in a room where no one will bother you. Step number two, close your eyes. Step number three, feel into the desire. Allow the desire to exist. Step number three, smile. I'm sorry, four. Step number four, smile in your heart. You know, when you smile, there's a feeling in the heart, like your heart kind of goes lighter. Mm-hmm. Try it now. Like you're just, eyes are closed and you just kind of, you don't even have to actually smile. You just have the
no,
idea.
I know. Okay. Yeah. I love the smile into your heart. I can do it.
Okay, great. So you'll smile into your heart. Number five, you're going to allow the smile in your heart to wrap around like it's a joy energy. You'll let that heart energy wrap around the desire. You're going to allow the desire. We're going to say for this practice that the desire is a bit of a heavier energy than the joy in your heart energy. Okay. So you'll allow the smile joy energy of your heart to wrap around the heaviness of the desire. And then you'll just sit there, feel the desire, let the joy of the heart wrap around the desire. And just stay with that. Over time, if you do so without an expectation for what should occur, what can occur, what you want to occur, that energy of the desire will move and change into something else. You will be freed, in other words, through the processing of that desire. Now, will you still want to make a movie? This is unclear, but you will be freed from the obsession of the desire. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to do this?
My resistance is that I don't want to be freed of the drive that exists in it. So I'm worried that if I'm freeing myself of the obsession of the desire, that I'll be letting go of something that might push me to do something I want.
Well, would you like the whole truth or the partial truth?
I don't know. What's in my best good to know?
Well, this is your choice. You have free will.
Sure. Give me the whole truth.
You think that this desire is your drive, but you're not doing anything about it, are you?
Right.
So you don't have drive. You have an addiction to an obsessive thought. We would like to offer you liberation from your addiction. When you have liberation from your addiction, addictions are not integrated, whole, true, passionate movements in your soul. They're lies. So when you're free of the addiction, the obsessive thinking, the desire, you're thinking all the time, desire, the relentlessness of that, when the relentlessness leaves you, you will be left with what is actually true for you, which may be a drive to make a movie, or it may be something totally different. And this is where the question, how much do you want to have peace, becomes right. relevant. And we would offer you this: from the space of peace, great creativity can be born. It just won't be born of an addictive obsession. It will be born of truth and light and alignment. So what do you prefer? And if the answer is addiction and obsession and compulsion, well, stay nope. with that. You have that already. Stay with it. It's yours to have. Truly. But if you'd like to find out what would occur from alignment and peace and surrender, this practice will take you there. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That was a great question. And in part for yourself, of course, but in part for all the people listening who will benefit from, if they themselves can relate to having a desire that has a hold of them, rather than a desire that returns in a gentle, loving, fun way that you have a hold over.
Mm-hmm.
They're different.
Yeah.
And this is quite a contribution for anyone who is experiencing something like this. Let us offer you this. One moment, I'm just going to get whatever that is. Okay, we'll tell you a story of a Katie experience. Okay, there was a boyfriend. You want me to tell it? Okay, I'll tell the story. So I had a boyfriend who I loved a lot, and we broke up, and years went by, and the love came back like all of a sudden, in a way that was like a little torturous for me. It's like, I couldn't stop thinking about him. And like, oof, the romantic feelings and the dreams every night but it's real and I'm in love with him. And it was years later and very confusing. And so knowing this practice and having been taught this structure myself, I sat with the desire and it transmuted. I did a lot of crying in the session. The smile into the desire and the crying and the crying and all of the crying. Well, I went to bed that night and didn't have any dreams and woke up the next morning and didn't feel romantically drawn to the person. And it was like the whole thing, just like a spell, you know, was uncast. About 2 weeks later, that person contacted me and I had been tortured with, do I contact them or not? You know, for the whole time that the obsession was present. And when they contacted me, we developed a friendship that continues to this day. And what I understood at the time was that the friendship could begin to build because I was in a neutral place about the person. I wasn't like in the narrative of the obsession.
Mm-hmm.
I was neutral. So when they showed up, I was like, oh, let's call him Francois. There's Francois. I have no feelings here. I'm just neutral. And then Francois said, hey, you want to go for a walk? And I go, yeah, sure. And we went for a walk and I went, it's nice being your friend. And Francois said, you too. And then we've been friends ever since. We don't chat that much, but every now and again, oh, how are you, Francois? Good, how are you? And we're buddies. Now, that's an example of, in that particular case, the thing came to fruition. I got to contact Francois after wondering for weeks, should I contact Francois? But I didn't get the outcome that the addiction wanted.
Right.
The addiction wanted a romantic story with Francois. That's not what I got.
Yeah.
I got something else. But that doesn't mean that's how the story goes every time.
Yeah. It'll be whatever it'll be. But yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense, because I can think of times where I've been in a similar brain space or whatever with a love situation. But when in it, not wanting to not have that feeling, like I can't possibly feel differently about this person because then I wouldn't have this feeling. But then when actually released of that feeling, feeling much less burdened by that addiction.
Yeah. And then what happened between you and the person?
Yeah. Different things for different people.
I'm asking you, what happened for you with that person?
One example in my head is we're friends, but I actually see a lot clearer the places in which I don't want to be connected to this person as well as the places I do.
Yeah.
You know, because you can just be like, oh yeah, no. That's cool.
So this is great. They're like remind him. This is where it's like the rubber meets the road, as it were, on the spiritual path for a human being, is that for the humans, we don't understand or trust or have faith that what the outcome will be on the spiritual path will actually be preferable.
Mm-hmm.
We think it will be a disappointment, or it will be worse or bad. And what we can say here is you may feel feelings of disappointment, which then pass. And then after they're passing, you will feel grateful.
Yeah.
Every time.
Every time. Oh, that's so clear to me.
Mm.
So, cool. I'm glad to have that framed in that context, because like now I'm much more like, of course.
Yeah. If ever they're saying, if ever you doubt, Cassidy, that doing another Cassidy episode is not enough, we offer you this experience today as an example of just, you have no idea how many people would benefit from hearing this conversation.
Yeah.
So many, way more than you even have listening now. Your process is very relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. Anything else?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. I think that's that. Why don't we close up the records for now?
Great.
Okay. So okay. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion. The lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return all of Cassidy Jamal Brown's energy to himself. I ask that you return Cassidy Jamal Brown to his complete human wholeness now. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records for Cassidy Jamal Brown are now closed. Amen. 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 Okay. I was going to say this when we were a second ago, but then I'm always like getting guidance as I'm about to say anything inside of the records. And they were like, no, say that after you close the records, which was like, I wonder if you have this experience ever. Do you ever have like conversations in your head with someone in front of you? This is hard to explain. I was having an imaginary conversation with you at a certain point in this exchange where in my mind, I was imagining that you were going to say, I look so weird doing this on camera. This looks so weird. And my imaginary response was, look at me. I am like shaking around and moving my arms. I look so weird doing this. And I mention it because it just felt weird. Like I'm aware of, if people are watching this, right? We haven't really put these out as a thing you can watch before.
Right.
I'm just aware of that. Okay. People are watching and I'm going to seem weird and that's okay. And B, it's like when I think back to, this is just kind of a potentially useful story for people to hear. When I think back to when I was in healing school, you know, I've probably talked about this before, but the first healing school, I'm one of two people I'm aware of. I'm one of three people out of probably 35 people, maybe 25, I'm not sure, who went on to like continue to do healing work after healing school, right? I've talked about this. And also was one of a few who really like took to the work. And the main difference, and I like to tell this story over and over, is because it's so silly. And if I could help people understand how useless this self-judgment is, that's why I'm telling the story. The main difference between myself and the people who just like couldn't get it or didn't go on to do it or whatever, which, you know, whatever, it's not their path and it wasn't meant to be and all that is true. But also is I was willing to look weird and I was willing to move my body around and I was willing to see images and ask questions of those images. And I was willing to trust or pretend for a second that maybe the answers I was getting might be correct and act as if they might be correct. And then ask a question of the client based on what I had heard. And then after getting so much confirmation from people over and over and over again, like if the divine says, ask him about his heart chakra. And I go, how's your heart now? And the client goes, it really hurts. When you do that enough times, you build trust in the voice you're hearing or the energy right. you're getting, right? But people were never willing to take the leap at those first 10 times where you have to go, well, I heard a voice and I might be psychotic or maybe it's God. Like people, that is the main separation between being able to help hundreds of people with a gift you might have and not. Is the willingness to act as if you might know something, you might see something. It's okay if your body does a weird thing. It's okay if the whole fucking world judges you for being a weird spiritual, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Because you might change this person's life in front of you if you're willing to face those things.
Yeah. I have two things to say about that. One is that's from the other side of it. That is, you know, we've talked in the past about how like, my quote original assignment we thought was to like be the friendly skeptic, but it's actually has been the opposite. It's coming from the place of what if what Katie is doing is real, frankly. I don't know, to put it sort of harshly.
Yeah.
But like that is actually what I do every day. We work together.
Yeah.
And so it's still the same idea of like I'm coming from a place of not like being literally all the way in, except that I am, because every day I come on and I just go, oh, what if that's real? And it inevitably turns out, it constantly churns out wisdom and results and feelings and answers and all the things happen because I say, well, what if?
Yeah.
And I don't go in going, Katie is a wizard and I am all the way in. Like, that's not, I don't know. That's just not how my brain works. But I do come at it from the point of view of, well, what if what you're saying is true?
And that's the whole thing of acting as if, which is right? It's a 12-step concept. They talk a lot. I mean, it's a therapy concept. It's a common concept of like, if you act as if, and see, that's what you're an actor.
Yeah.
And
that's all we ever fucking do.
That's all we ever fucking do. At one time I was in acting class in New York at Carnegie Hall with Wynn Handman, who used to run the American Place Theater, or maybe he still does. Maybe he died. I'm not
Katie,
sure.
Katie, hold on. You dropped something.
Yes.
Right. A name. You dropped a name, right?
I intentionally did.
I know.
But thank you for judging me. I was in acting class and he said, somebody did something. I don't remember if it was me or someone else. And he said, he would always, you know, look back at the group, like the actor's working in front on the stage and he's looking at and sitting in this audience, looking at the actor. And he looked back at us and he said, you see, actors are suggestible. That is the gift of the actor. And I remember thinking, holy fuck, that is the gift of the actor. And then I remember thinking, that's what makes it hard for us to be people in the world because we're suggestible. That's hard.
Yeah.
When you're on stage and someone says, it's as if the rain is pouring down your neck, you can get there.
You can go like, sure, what if that was the thing?
It's as if you're in love with this person. It's as if he's your father. Yeah. It's as if he's your mother. It's as if he's a child, whatever.
And that's also similar to what I often do with my presentation coaching clients, where I just be like, well, what if you were an expert? You know, let's pretend you're an expert on this.
It's the Stanislavski magical what if, I think he calls it, right? The magical as if. It's as if.
It's as if.
It's as if you're a giraffe.
One of the, I don't know if this is relevant, but I love this idea. There's a particular game it's sort of an improv game that's kind of complicated in how it works. And it's about getting a group to sort of work in flow together, where you like point and say, and then when you point at somebody, they have to give you permission to take their place by saying yes or go. It's this game, go. And it's weirdly counterintuitive because you're actually, you're not speaking, but you're asking, but then they have to answer before you can walk. And some people are always getting kerfuffled with it. And it's very jagged in how it works, la, la, la. And you're trying to get the group to flow with the game. And then what I'll do is I'll just say, there's a camera overhead. We are the, we're trying to get this game entered into the Olympics, like to be, you know, and we are the demonstration team because we're the best in the world right now. And we're doing an exhibition for the Olympic judges to say, look at how awesome this game is. So we're the experts in this game. And okay, as soon as we say go, we're the experts and we're showing them how awesome we are. Smooth as shit out the ass of a duck. There we go. We got the shit back in there. It is amazing how immediately most groups, even non-performer groups, get the game.
Right.
When you say, what if you were an expert?
Huh. Yeah, right. Which speaks to the point of, you're right. It's as if the Stanislavski as if, like, it's as if you're an expert and suddenly you're like, all right, I'm an expert. And then you're very good at it.
Right. And it's hard to like differentiate that from the like, you know, mansplaining. Well, I'm an expert because I'm a dude and I'm just, it's different than that. It's the idea of like, okay, enter into the space of ability, Well, there's the other side of that coin, which can be like unearned confidence.
Yeah. But that would be irrelevant in this example, because even if you had unearned confidence, that would make you good at this game.
That's true.
So the game doesn't care.
The game serves it. I'm just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a evil side to this power.
Oh, there can be. Well, there's an evil side to every power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wielded poorly.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I had a great time today and I hope you did, and I hope everybody watching did. We did some poop and some dick and some spirit.
Yeah. We might in the narrative for this one give a small content warning, you know?
Nah.
If you don't want to talk about shit endlessly and shitting on people's chest, skip to the prayers, you know, which is at 1:32 or whatever. Yep. But that's up to, we'll decide.
We may
lose some people and we'll gain them the next week.
Or we lose people and we gain the ones we were intended to have.
Yeah.
We're not going to get like, you know, right-wing Christians in this group. We're going to get people who can hold shit and God in one space.
Right. Or maybe we're going to pull some people over because of this one.
Yes.
Maybe there's some people who are like, I need to, and then they're like, oh, I do want to shit on a chest. And they talked about it and they shamed me a little bit, but then they came around to not shaming me. And there's,
listen, those are our people.
I feel heard. Now,
those are our people.
The chest shitters.
Yeah, you'll surrender to it at some point and know that you don't have to explain away anything anymore. I love you.
Love you too.
I love you both. We're going to all do our work. Bye.
Do your work.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you.
That's why they call it a growler. Never heard that? Never heard someone say, I'm going to go take a growler?
No, a growler is a beer container.
Yeah, it's a beer. It's got beer in it.
That's what it is now. Growing up, it's going to the...
That was a Sounds Awesome production.